Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining us. From the spruce, you should never grow mint in your garden, gardeners say. Here's Why, by Kate McKenna. Herb gardens are a staple for many gardeners. Not only are herbs fairly easy to grow, but you also get the added benefit of being able to harvest them on a regular basis for your cooking, and say goodbye to wasted store-bought herbs that go off in your fridge. But if you're considering adding mint to your garden, or are already growing it, you might want to think twice. We talked to expert gardeners to find out why you should never grow mint in the garden and what to grow instead. Gardeners say you shouldn't grow mint in your garden because it can spread rapidly. The main reason to not grow mint is that it tends to be very invasive and difficult to get rid of once it has become established, said Edwin Deisinger, co-founder of Seedtime. Anna Hackman, farmer and managing member at the Naked Botanical, agrees and says mint can very easily crowd out other plants so they don't receive enough water, soil, nutrients, or even sunlight. Can you still grow mint at home? If you still want to grow mint at home, you have some options. First, Hackman suggests having dedicated beds for your mint, which is something she does herself in her own garden. I have dedicated beds for my mints, and each mint is separated so one doesn't push out the other, she says. Hackman also says if you do want to grow mint but are worried about it taking over your garden, there's an easy answer. Grow it in containers, but don't plant the container in the ground. You will need to pull out some of the mint periodically so it doesn't choke itself, she says. I made the mistake thinking I could contain it in a container buried in my garden bed, and mint found its way out. Alternatives to growing mint. Hackman has a self-professed mint addiction and grows several varieties like pineapple mint, green apple mint, spearmint, peppermint, and chocolate mint. She also suggests a couple of alternatives if you like the aroma and appearance of mint but would rather grow something less invasive in your garden. If you want to grow a mint-like plant, I recommend mountain mint or lemon balm, she says. Lemon balm will self-seed, but you can cut it before it flowers. It generally stays in the same vicinity and doesn't get that large. Mountain mint, she says, is pollinator-friendly and will attract lots of bees, but it's a larger option and can grow up to 40 inches. Hackman says there are a range of varieties of mountain mint to fit your needs. Going on through tomorrow at 5 o'clock, the Maricopa County Home and Flower Show at Westworld of Scottsdale goes on until 5 today, tomorrow 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There will be live demonstrations, 1,000 home improvement booths, do-it-yourself flower bouquets, stunning garden landscapes, home flower plant and artisan market, Battle of the Bouquets live, free consultations, 40-plus Instagrammable floral installations, free make-and-take craft workshops, U of A Master Gardener seminars, Pink Prize tent spin and win, free walk-up plant, and garden bar workshops, and the best deals on home improvement. And here's an article that appeared recently in the Arizona Republic. Spring Refresh, Home Improvement, Don't Fear the Snake Plant, Caring for Sansevieria, by Aaron J. Style. Sansevieria, also known as snake plant, St. George's sword, or mother-in-law's tongue, is a resilient houseplant that is grown for its striking appearance and low maintenance needs. Its tall, sword-like leaves and unique variegation make a beautiful addition to most indoor spaces. This hardy plant is known for its ability to thrive in a variety of conditions, making it an ideal choice for both novice and experienced gardeners. Iowa State University Extension and outreach horticulturalists answer some questions on these highly adaptable indoor plants. Here's the first question. What types of sansevieria are commonly grown indoors? And here's the answer. The group of plants known as sansevieria is comprised of the species and cultivars formerly classified in the genus sansevieria. Despite being reclassified to the genus Dracaena, this group of plants is still widely called sansevieria. The most common species in homes is the snake plant, a species native to tropical West Africa. The long, sword-like leaves grow from the ground in rosettes and come in a variety of colors and patterns. One of the most popular varieties, Laurenti, has striking gold bands running vertically along the leaf edge. Other varieties have unique patterns and colors in dark green, light green, white, and silver. Popular varieties include Black Gold, Moonshine, Metallica, Silver Queen, Future Robusta, and Bantell's Sensation. Bird's nest types such as Hanai have rosettes of much shorter leaves, typically less than 8 inches long, forming a funnel shape. Other species of Sansevieria found at well-stocked garden centers include the African spear, with long, stiff, cylindrical leaves that grow in a fan pattern. Whalefin has wide, 8-plus inches stiff, dark green leaves. This species is often found in garden centers with just one or two large leaves. How do I care for Sansevieria? Sansevieria prefers bright, indirect light. This is light bright enough to cast a shadow, but not directly in the sun's rays. Plants tolerate low light levels very well, although this can lead to muted leaf coloration and patterns. Plant in a well-drained potting soil, such as cactus mix or potting soil embedded with perlite. Water plants only after the soil is completely dried out. The quickest, and sometimes the only way to kill a Sansevieria is to overwater it. Plants can go weeks, sometimes months, without water, but if plants stay wet, root rot develops, causing leaves to turn yellow and collapse, eventually leading to plant death. Wet conditions can be caused by frequent watering using containers that don't have drainage holes or allowing water to sit in saucers or outer pots. Grow plants in average home temperatures, although they prefer it a little warmer, 70 to 90 degrees Fahrenheit is ideal. Avoid cold drafts, especially in winter. Frequent fertilizing is not necessary, but using an all-purpose fertilizer at half or quarter strength in the spring promotes healthy growth. How do I propagate Sansevieria? Sansevieria is easily propagated by leaf section cuttings and division. To propagate by cuttings, cut a leaf onto 3-inch to 4-inch sections, dip the lower cut end in rooting hormone, and insert the leaf piece into perlite or other rooting media. Place in a warm, bright, indirect light location with high humidity. Use a plastic dome or bag to maintain humidity. Check frequently and moisten the media as needed. New roots will form, followed by a small plantlet after about 2 months, when the new plant is several inches tall, pot in regular potting soil. Cultivars with variegated leaf edges, such as Laurenti, lose their interesting coloration when propagated by cuttings. The variegation in these cultivars is created from a chimera, which is an uncommon way for variegation to form. To maintain the leaf pattern, propagate by division. Separate clumps or rosettes of leaves by cutting the thick underground rhizome, making sure each section has both roots and shoots. Pot up the new plants immediately and give them good care until fully reestablished. While Sansevieria doesn't mind being a bit crowded in its container, division helps maintain excessively pot-bound plants. Is Sansevieria toxic to pets or people? Sansevierias are mildly toxic to humans and pets. Plants contain saponins, which cause nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and gastrointestinal discomfort. All species of Sansevierias should never be ingested and should be kept out of reach of children, dogs, and cats. Do Sansevierias flower? It is rare for Sansevieria to flower when grown as a houseplant. When provided with abundant light and good fertility, Sansevieria may produce flowers. Flowers form along a long stalk that arises from the base of the rosette. The cream to greenish white tubular flowers have strap-like petals that curl back to reveal prominent stamens. Flowers typically have a sticky texture and a pleasant scent, especially at night, that is similar to vanilla or jasmine. From HGTV, 11 Plants to Add Instant Curb Appeal When Selling Your Home, by Lynn Coulter. Looking to sell your home soon? Good curb appeal creates a strong first impression for buyers, setting a promising tone for the rest of their home tour. Upgrading your landscaping with new plants for the front of the house and flowers is a cost-effective way to improve the looks of your property and can easily be done in a weekend. Here are our favorite varieties and how to incorporate them into your landscaping or hardscaping. Boxwoods. When you're ramping up your curb appeal, start with evergreens that give structure to your yard. Boxwoods make great foundation plants, come in many sizes. You can also add them to beds and borders. Mix in annuals and other plants with year-round interests, as Julie Arnold Camp, a realtor with Better Homes and Gardens Metro Brokers in Atlanta. Annuals give color during the length of the listing. Using pots is also a good idea to add seasonal color or to add color to an area that has no interesting character. And a tip, flats of annuals are usually cheaper than individual plants. Roses. Roses aren't attractive in the winter. Even when they're blooming, they often need pruning, fertilizing, and spraying. But some roses, like the knockout family, are low maintenance, which many homeowners or home buyers know and appreciate, and they produce spectacular flowers from spring until frost. And a tip, smaller drift roses, which mature around 18 inches tall, are also easy to grow and make a pretty ground cover for sunny spots. Hydrangeas. Hydrangeas give you a lot of bang for your curb appeal buck. They're easy to grow, need little care, and put on a spectacular show when they bloom. Most of these flowering shrubs prefer morning sun with afternoon shade and are hardy in zones 4 or 5 through 9. And a tip as well, if you use lush, leafy hydrangeas to camouflage an unsightly foundation, leave a couple of feet between the plants and the house so they have room to spread. Front door urns. For fast curb appeal, post urns on each side of your front door and plant them with feathery textured pinpoint blue false cypress. These evergreen shrubs grow into tall, narrow columns so they won't block your entrance. Here, they're underplanted with spot-on lungwort. The pink buds will open into blue flowers. The urns also hold yellow pansies, creeping phlox, calibrachoas, Super Bell's honeyberry, and Shadowland autumn frost hostas. And a tip, urns are also ideal for growing topiary plants. Hostas is next. Bare spots under your trees don't make a good impression when you want top dollar for your home. Tuck shade-loving hostas into those areas or use them around shrubs and in borders. Their flowers aren't showy, but their leaves, which come in shades of green, gray, blue, cream, and yellow gold, are standouts. Choose small, medium, or large varieties. Most are hardy in zones 3 through 9. And a tip, add containers of shade-loving begonias and impatiens for pops of color. Annuals. Inexpensive annuals are easy to establish, and they make good fillers when your bulbs, perennials, or flowering shrubs stop blooming. For fast curb appeal, pop them into containers, hanging baskets, or window boxes for splashes of color. Marigolds, petunias, and geraniums are popular and easy to grow. And a tip, if you're selling in the cooler months, try flowers like pansies and mums or ornamental kales and cabbages. Supertunia Bordeaux, which is pictured in the photo here in this article, blooms profusely until frost. Arborvitae. Fast-growing evergreen arborvitaes are available in a range of sizes and are popular to use as hedges, privacy screens, and borders. True to its name, Mr. Bowling Ball Arborvitae, shown here, grows into a spherical shape. Since it tops out around 30 inches tall and wide, it doesn't need pruning. Dress up your foundation or let these compact shrubs edge a walkway or driveway. Hardy in zones 3 through 8, Mr. Bowling Ball is also great for containers. And a tip, some arborvitaes grow faster and some are more drought tolerant than others. Read the plant's tag or label to make sure it will suit your needs. Mailbox plants. Don't forget to use your mailbox as a potential buyer will see it. If it's a plain Jane, dress it up with a mix of plants. Try evergreens like compact inkberry holly gem box, assorted perennials and colorful annuals like Color Blaze Lime Time Coleus or Luscious Berry Blend Lantanas. Choose sun lovers for a spot that gets full sun. And a tip as well, avoid plants that need frequent watering unless you have a faucet nearby. Azaleas. Catch a buyer's eye with sweeps of azaleas planted in beds or around your mailbox or porch. Most are hardy in zones 6 through 9 and need filtered sun or a spot that gets morning sun and afternoon shade. The shrubs come in a variety of colors and sizes. And a tip, if your budget is tight, Put a few dwarf azaleas in containers near your entrance, or choose reblooming types that flower in spring and again in summer. Portulacas. You don't have to spend a lot of time or money to amp up your home's curb appeal when you fill matching containers with heat and drought tolerant plants. Yellow pots complement the Mojave series of portulacas in bold colors like fuchsia, pink, red, yellow, and tangerine. Portulacas, also known as purslane, sun roses, and moss roses, are nearly carefree annuals that bloom vigorously in sunny spots. And a tip, if your home doesn't sell right away and the seasons change, just pop out the plants and replant with flowers or foliage in different colors. Daylilies. Sun-loving daylilies add cheerful color to your home when they're planted in masses. These tough perennials tolerate heat, drought, and many pests and diseases. Grow early, mid, and late season varieties, and you'll have a flower show that lasts for weeks. And a tip, if your home doesn't sell, divide the clumps after the flowers fade, and you'll have extra daylilies to plant. From BetterHomesAndGardens.com, 6 pretty but problematic perennials you should never plant in your garden. Steer clear of these troublesome perennials and plant these better-behaved alternatives instead. By Megan Hughes. In my garden, I have a few of what I call perennial troublemakers. They're the ones that turned out to have a dark side lurking beyond the promises of prolific summer blooms or the ability to tolerate the harshest heat and drought without missing a beat. In truth, their nonstop flowers result in tons of seeds that go everywhere, or their toughness is actually thanks to rampant growth that threatens to smother every living thing in a 10-foot radius. It feels like an endless struggle to keep them contained, leaving me wondering why I ever planted them in the first place. Save yourself from all these frustrations by avoiding these problematic perennials in your garden. Plus, I've got suggestions for much better behaved look-alikes you can grow instead. First on the list, Lily of the Valley. Yeah, I know this one is a classic garden plant beloved for its sweetly scented white bell-like flowers in early spring and ability to thrive in dry shade where not much else will grow. But I've come to really dislike Lily of the Valley because a year or two after planting, it starts to spread like wild, choking out nearby plants. Once it's established, reining in this aggressive spreader requires relentless vigilance. Plant this instead. Foam flower is a native plant that also can grow in shady spots but won't take over the garden. Though not fragrant, its frothy spring flowers attract pollinators, and some varieties offer interesting foliage. Next on the list, perennial bachelor's button. A catalog description focused on a parade of spring and summer flowers and easy care can beguile those who have never grown perennial bachelor's button. But it has a hyper-reseeding nature you'll find much less appealing. The first year, you'll have one clump of it, and the next year, your garden is inundated with 15 clumps. Beware, perennial bachelor's button also goes by names like mountain bluet, cornflower, and basket flower, but all are bad news. Plant this instead. For early summer color, plant well-behaved, pollinator-friendly penstemon instead of perennial bachelor's button. This plant comes in lots of different varieties, including those with vibrant purple and blue flowers, if that's the look you're after. Number 3 is chameleon plant. Heart-shaped leaves decorated with splashes of white, green, pink, and yellow easily dazzle those unfamiliar with chameleon plant. But that admiration will quickly turn to dismay when this vigorous perennial begins spreading everywhere. Plus, once it's sunk its tenacious roots into your garden, it's nearly impossible to get rid of. Even herbicides don't slow it down much, so please don't fall for its cute, colorful leaves if you see it in the garden center. Plant this instead. There are many other well-behaved ground cover plants like creeping thyme or barrenwort that won't give you the hassle the chameleon plant will. Number 4, fall sunflower. Don't be fooled by fall sunflower. Its garden behavior is nothing like true members of the sunflower family. Fall sunflower spreads aggressively by underground roots to form large colonies of plants. It will grow right over and through nearby perennials and shrubs, making it especially tough to evict without harming the plants it has engulfed. Plant this instead. Consider growing perennial sunflower for similar pollinator-friendly flowers or on plants that aren't bent on taking over the world. Number 5 is purple loosestrife. This perennial has a rap sheet. It's listed as a noxious weed in many states because it overtakes wetlands and crowds out native species. Purple loosestrife is quickly recognizable, thanks to its upright purple spikes that bloom from midsummer through fall. Although it's banned from sale in many states, it still makes its way into gardens. Uninformed friends sometimes offer a clump or two from their garden. This was one gift to refuse, and then kindly fill in your friend on its invasive nature. Plant this instead. For a long-lasting punch of purple in the garden, plant native purple coneflower or blazing star instead of purple loosestrife. Mint, number 6. This perennial herb has wonderfully fragrant and flavorful leaves, but once you plant mint, you're likely to have it around forever. It can regenerate from the smallest bits of root or stem left behind if you try to dig it out. Plus, it will reseed itself everywhere if you allow it to flower. Plant this instead. Lesser calamint is a perennial in the mint family that offers fragrant foliage. However, it doesn't spread aggressively, it holds up well through heat and drought, and its prolific flowers attract an array of pollinators. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories from the terrific book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called The World's Largest Rose Tree. It's written by Cindy Buck. And there's a quote here from Nancy Reeder Campion, "Bloom where you are planted." On a warm spring day in 1885, a young Scotswoman named Mary G. sat on the porch of the Cochise House, a boarding house in Tombstone, Arizona. She and her husband Henry were lodging there while their new home was being built. Just 2 months before, Mary had married Henry in their village church in Scotland, and then the next day set sail for America, her husband's home. Henry was a mining engineer, and his work required that he return immediately to the Old Guard Mining Company in Tombstone. Mary was talking with her new friend, Amelia Adamson, owner of the Cochise House. Mary had already told her about everyone in her family back in Scotland, her younger brothers and her parents, her childhood friends, and her beloved grandmother. Today she was talking about the land itself, the smoky heather, the green hills, and the flowers and vegetables she and her mother had tended in their backyard. As Mary described, the bountiful harvests, the lush blossoms, and especially the delicate beauty of her favorite roses, she gradually fell silent and turned away, her eyes filled with tears. Amelia wanted to comfort her, but what could she say? The view from the porch was a vast expanse of brown desert dotted with cactus, some brush plants, and an occasional mesquite tree. Very little grew in Tombstone. Even people seemed more likely to die than grow here. Gunfights erupted on the town streets almost daily, and if the outlaws weren't killing each other, they were swinging for the gallows in the yard of the county courthouse. Mary longed for the peaceful people in the deep green hills and gardens of her home. When Henry came home that night, his kind face was beaming with happiness. He carefully brought three large packages into their room, one at a time. Mary caught sight of Scottish postage stamps in her mother's handwriting and ran to get a knife to cut the heavy twine. Together, they opened the sturdy boxes and removed layer upon layer of padding. Suddenly, a fragrance filled the room, and Mary cried out with joy, "Heather!" Pulling away the last tissue, Mary saw the familiar bluish-green foliage of a heather plant. She pressed her cheek against the dry branches and breathed in the scent of her childhood, her loved ones, and her home. Beneath the heather, they discovered two purple columbines and a hardy primrose. The second package held dozens of bulbs, tulips, narcissus, and daffodils. And in the third, Mary found her favorite, the Lady Banksia rose she had planted as a child. Mary dug her fingers into the crumbling Scottish soil, and her tears fell on the dusty canes. In the next few days, she and Henry planted most of the flowers on their land, but Mary gave the Lady Banksia rose to her new friend, Amelia Adamson, and they planted it together in the backyard of the Cochise House. It grew superbly. Today, well over 100 years later, Amelia's rose is not only flourishing, it is officially the world's largest rose tree, Ripley's, believe it or not, gave it that title in 1937, and the Guinness Book of World Records has confirmed it since. Still growing in its original spot behind the Cochise House, now called the Rose Tree Inn, it covers an area of over 8,000 square feet, an unbelievable spread of branches and blooms supported by many pipes and posts. The trunk of the tree is over 12 feet around. The rose tree blooms just once a year with delicate and fragrant white blossoms. Usually the buds start opening in the middle of March, and it continues to flower throughout the month of April, raining a carpet of blossoms onto the patio beneath the tree. Thousands of visitors from around the world visit the rose tree every year and can hardly believe their eyes. They marvel at the tree's amazing size and ancient grandeur. And when they hear the story of its origin, they realize that this rose may never die. Its roots are sunk so deep in love, the love of a young bride who gave up her cherished homeland for her husband, the love of a mother who reached out to comfort her distant daughter, and the love of a woman whose joy was not complete until she shared it with her husband. That's called The World's Largest Rose Tree, written by Cindy Buck, one of the many stories that make up chicken soup for the gardener's soul. And that's the Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy, and we'll be talking with you soon.